our coaching staff was special. They taught me how to make choices, how to take responsibility. They taught me that what they said didn't have to become who I was unless I chose. And that mind shift of taking responsibility really changed everything for me. They taught me how to be not just successful on the field, but how to connect those dots so I could be successful in life.
Hey, and welcome to Ahead of the Curve. I am Jonathan Gellner, and thank you for listening today. Joining us, we have Stephen Mackey, founder and CEO of Two Words Character Development Program. On the show, we dig into how to develop our players not just for baseball, but for life. And just as a warning, if you haven't ever had the chance to listen to Mackey speak, and you're listening to this in the evening, turn it off now because you're not going to be able to sleep for the next 4 to 6 hours. Mackey brings an infectious energy, and his entire life was changed by a coach. So here we go with Stephen Mackey.
Mackey, thank you for joining us on Ahead of the Curve.
Yeah, man, excited to be here. Appreciate what you do and the way you're helping make the game better.
I love it. And I was telling you earlier, I'm not a very good host because apparently we're here for 5 minutes and we're sitting in a principal's office.
But you know what? It's not the first time that I've been in the principal's office, but is this your first in-person Ahead of the Curve interview?
It is, and I'm so excited about it.
Setting records.
I love it. Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, man. So you know, have the great privilege of working with high schools across the state of Texas and across the U.S., really kind of doing one simple thing. I graduated from Texas A&M, so I got to keep it stupid simple, so I can't get too complicated. And what I get to do every day is I get to help athletes and coaches connect the dots between sports and life. And found myself here in this place after really about 7 years of volunteering with my local football team in the community, 4 years in Blanco, Texas, a small hill country town, and about 3 years in Kaufman, Texas, just right on the front porch of East Texas. And for a long time, it was really just an extension of my ministry. I professionally trained as a pastor, and was just a way for me to give back and to serve because I had been in a lot of the places that athletes were today. I had the great privilege of playing 2 years of college football, a year at Air Force Prep, and a year at University of Houston, and just being around coaches and being around athletes and spending time with students, was able to see the connection between sports and life. And so for me, it just became this natural evolution of my career as a communicator, as a pastor, and then ultimately, as one looking out saying, how can I make the biggest impact in the world? This became a very clear place for me to do so. Grew up in Texas and all that comes with high school football. And so found myself being drawn to this lifestyle and the influence that coaches have. And so it was really just a natural evolution of my life and my skill sets. And then the need that was present in sports across the spectrum, from girls soccer to baseball to football, there was a very clear need for folks working in character development, working in player development. And so when all of those things kind of converged around January of 2017, that was kind of my sign to say this was a moment for me. So you put all that together and we end up where we are today in the principal's office. recording this episode.
Oh, that's great. And we got the opportunity to connect at the ABCA in Indy this year, and I loved it, and it was awesome. And tell us about your experience as a middle school kid when you quit football, and how that really shaped where you are today.
Yeah, you bet, man. So, you know, I was born to a teenage mother. My mom's 16 years old when she had me, blonde hair, blue eyes. My father was an older black man, and we lived in a small Texas town where racism was far from gone. And just the statistics of being born into that situation said that I'd be less likely to graduate from high school or go to college, more likely to be arrested by my 18th birthday, father child out of wedlock, and live a life of poverty. So there were all these things that were working against me, just from a statistic standpoint, from a life standpoint. And yet going into seventh grade, I just saw football as being my golden ticket, that it was going to be the way that I was going to be really reach all my goals, which at that moment really consisted of Diana Davis and Lisa Gorisky knowing that I existed, right? Like that was kind of the top end of my goals. But as I went through that process, I hit the first day of practice, biggest kid on the school, on the team, and set out. And man, it was a great day, man. I was look good, play good, click clack, will you protect this house? Like, I was ready to roll, man, and was smashing people, and the day was going great. My plan was working flawlessly until at the end of practice, coach said four words that that really wrecked my spirit, man. He said, "Get on the line." Mm. He said it was time to run sprints. And I know, yeah, I see the look on your face, man. I know that you've said that to your boys more than once, and every coach listening, right, has said that more than once. He's a dream, they're dream runners, right? Mm-hmm. And when my coach said that, you know, I was like, "Oh, time out, man. I'm the biggest kid in school, but I wasn't, let's say I wasn't a very svelte, right? I was what the department stores called husky. My favorite food was a Twinkie. And so going into this idea of running sprints, man, it wasn't what I signed up for, you know what I mean? And so as I had this moment, right, coach said, well, you can choose. And in that moment, I learned what discipline was, right? That you would do what you don't want to do today so that you can get what you want tomorrow. And I learned about discipline in that moment, not because I demonstrated it, but because I didn't. And when my coach said, you can get on the line and you can run sprints or you can quit, I chose to quit on the very first day, staring my golden ticket in its face. And that next year was really the worst year of my life. Right, middle school is bad for everybody, right. But it was exceptionally bad for me. And my flat top afro gap tooth didn't help, right? I looked like Will Smith circa Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And it didn't help, but you know, I had a lot going against me, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I say that to say that over that year, I just found myself on the outside, mm-hmm. being an outsider. That there were the ins and the haves and the have-nots, and I was a have-not. There were the cool kids and there were the not cool kids, and that was me. And it was just a tough year. Had no focus, had no purpose. It was just a hard, hard year. And at the end of that year, my coach called me out, called me past my excuse, said, why didn't you play football? And I gave him the story. Well, you know, Coach Mabula Oblongata, my L7 site, you know, all that. He said, no, don't give me the excuses. He said, why don't you play? And he forced me to face the truth. And in so doing, he did something that really was the linchpin, that he didn't just call me out, but he gave me a second chance. And he didn't just give me a second chance. He then began to invest in me. He began to show me how to think and how to live and how to act. He began to pour into me in ways that didn't make a whole lot of sense. He had no reason to, and yet he did. He went above and beyond. And over the years, I went every level in every sport, football and track and wrestling, every coach along the way would go out of their way to invest in me. And I, you know, of course, I want to believe that I was special, but the reality was that our coaching staff was special and mm-hmm. that they did that for every kid who was willing. And in so doing, they taught me how to make choices, how to take responsibility. They taught me that what they said didn't have to become who I was unless I chose. And that mind shift of taking responsibility really changed everything for me. And so I learned, they taught me how to be not just successful on the field, but how to connect those dots so I could be successful in life. And so when that happened, as a result of it, not a single thing that kind of they said should be true of me came true. Was the first in my family to graduate from college, went on to get a master's degree. I've never seen the backseat of a police car, but literally get to travel coast to coast, helping athletes and coaches connect the dots between sports and life. Said that I would father a child out of wedlock, and yet the only woman I've ever slept with is my wife. We have three beautiful children, Harrison, who's on his redshirt kindergarten year, Jane, who's three, and the word I would use to describe her is fierce. She's a fierce snuggler. She's fierce with her emotions. She's a fierce biter, a fierce kicker. She is fierce across the board, and I love every bit of it.
Does she get that from you?
She does. She does. And then our youngest son, Porter, is 3 months old. And they said that I live a life of poverty. But my family will never know spiritual or emotional or financial poverty. That my wife, I'm on the road over 200 days a year. In 2017, gave 282 speeches. And there will not be a day one that she questions whether or not I'm faithful to her.
Awesome.
My sons will never have to ask Google what it means to be a man, and my daughter will never have to ask some smelly, pimple-faced high school boy what love is, because they'll learn from me. And so I say all that to say that what started out really rocky What started out as a fat kid in seventh grade not wanting to run sprints turned into the story of second chances and the power of what happens when a coach goes above and beyond to do more than just coach how to be successful on the field, but how to be successful in life. And so I would say that in a lot of ways is why I do what I do today. So I planted my flag in the high school locker room because my life was changed by my high school coaches. And I want to help coaches today do that for their athletes.
Well, before we get into, you know, the two words and the two words curriculum, I want to say that the reason that I ask you to tell that again, not just for our audience, but just for me as a constant reminder of why we do what we do.
Yeah.
And why second chances are that vital. Because at the end of the day, no matter how bad a kid is, he's still a kid.
Yeah.
And so I love hearing your story. And I told my wife as soon as we got done at the ABC, listened to you speak, I was like, man, this guy, I'm so excited to hear him come here. But you are the example of what we're trying to do. So I love that. And that's again, why I wanted you to share with that.
Well, thank you, man. I really, really appreciate that. And you know, there's just such power in giving a kid what they don't deserve.
Sure.
And certainly there comes, right? Don't get me wrong. I had to earn a lot, right? And I think that was the difference for me, that they gave me a second chance, but then they taught me what to do with the second chance. And then I had to take the action to do what they taught me. So it was a both way thing. But sometimes coaches will give second chances, but they don't teach a kid what to do with that second chance. And mm-hmm. So what happens? Well, the same thing that happened the first time. Why? Because that's all that they know. They don't know any different. And so when we give our kids a second chance, it's important to teach them what to do with it.
Definitely. Well, talk to us about two words. And I want to know, what are the two words for this week that your subscribers are digging into probably as we speak?
Yeah, you bet, man. So two words is a 36-week video-based character development curriculum. It's a gender sport neutral thing that we've put together that every week has a 7-minute video lesson that is professionally filmed, has the real vibe of a YouTube video because we write for athletes. And so we write with that high school, junior high athlete in mind, knowing that they're going to process things in mediums differently. So it's a 7-minute video every week. And each week, you know, there is the character trait of the week that's defined and described by two words. And so each year we will create 36 new lessons. So it's never a rinse and repeat thing. And each week comes with a downloadable workbook that has lessons for coaches, captains, athletes, and parents. Mm-hmm. And so what that looks like very practically is, you know, we give coaches three things to look for in the practice that they've already scheduled that'll reinforce the trait of the week. So we don't ask coaches to carve out classroom time. We don't ask coaches to redo their schedule. Like, they're the experts at coaching. So all we do is say, hey, if you see this, when you do, call it out, and that'll reinforce the trait of the week. For your captains, and you can use it for your whole team or just for your captain's council. But that section gives a very tangible sense of this is what it means to be a leader, specifically an others-centered leader or servant leader, to say, in light of the trait of the week, here's how you can go and lead. Mm-hmm. Because isn't it so true that often we tell our athletes, you're a leader, you have influence unlike anyone else, people are watching you, and then we stop. We don't tell them how to be a leader. We don't show them how to be a leader. Well, that's what this section does every week in light of the character trait. There's a section for your athletes, and that helps them contextualize the trait of the week to their own goals. And then we invite mom and dad to the process. So that goes from locker room to living room, and mom and dad get their own unique user login that they get to watch the videos at home. Your athletes can watch it again at the house. And then there's a one pager for mom and dad that gives an overview of the trait of the week. And along with what we call the best five, just five questions over 5 minutes that you can talk about at home that will facilitate conversation between the parent and the athlete in light of the trait of the week. Hmm. And so every week there's a different two words. You know, depending on what school you're at and depends on where you're at, it's not something that goes in a sequence in that you've got to start at one and then you finish at 36. You can go in any order that you want. They mix and they match. There's certain themes, a certain ethos that will always be carried over: personal responsibility, other-centered leadership, personal code, personal responsibility, work ethic. It'll always be a goals, very practical, tactical type thing. But every week is a little bit different. I think that if my math is correct, if you started in August and you're working through the 36, you'd probably be somewhere, you know, around week 19, 20, 22, somewhere in there, which I think, if I'm correct, is then what?
Okay.
And the idea of then what is to say that what happens when you're the best player on the field? What happens when you're the best baseball player to ever play the game? I mean, the greatest to ever put on a pair of cleats, and you have a career that lasts longer than any other baseball player's careers ever lasted, and you make it all the way to 42. And your identity is wrapped up in how great you are as a player. Your decisions are made based on how great you are as a player. People treat, but you get to the end of the day, then what? Mm. Because what's going to happen is even if you're the best ever, eventually someone's going to be better than you.
Sure.
Eventually you won't be good enough to keep playing the game. And then what? Then what happens? And so we talk about source of identity. We talk about, are you more about who you are or what you do? Because if you're all about what you do, well, what happens when what you do gets taken away? You know, my senior year of high school going in, you know, I was number three or four in the state in wrestling, was projected to have a great football season, a great track season. You know, it's going to be a three-sport letter at a 5A school, which at the time was the biggest in Texas and biggest classification in mm-hmm. Texas, and was set up to have this incredible year. And then on the very first rep of the first play, I got a call that morning from a coach that said, I can't wait for you to come play football for us. And then that day, I tear my ACL. And like that, it was taken away. And I had to wrestle with the question, well, then what? Am I just a football player? Am I just an athlete? Or is there something else to me? And that day, whether it's as a knee surgery, whether it's a phone call from a doctor, whether it's a phone call from the police because something has happened in your family, then what? Someday that's going to happen. And then what? And so in this week, we talk through how to prepare for a then what, both internally, externally, how that connects on the field, how it connects in life. And so, you know, we're diving into stuff that has some pretty significant weight to it.
Right.
But we're doing it in 7-minute chunks. We're doing it 5 questions at a time. We're doing it in a way that says, if you see it here on the field, then when you see it in life, just remember, oh, it happened here, and this is what I did. There's a seed planted, and then when it happens in life, you'll be ready for it.
Well, that's awesome. And I love the curriculum. I love the simplicity of the two words. Mm-hmm. And so let me ask you this. Say we bought this tomorrow.
Yep.
And we're trying to dig in on what's the best way to do this. So what's the best way that you've seen other schools implement this?
Sure.
And just kind of take us through the process. So if we get it, or if our listeners get it, a way that they could implement it and make it really good from day one.
You know, the thing that we set out from the very beginning is I told you we wrote it for athletes, mm-hmm. but we designed it for coaches.
Okay.
And we understand that really, if you ask what do we put together, what do we quote unquote sell? What we sell is time for the coach, because the coach wants to invest beyond the scoreboard, but there's so many things that are buying for his time or her time that, you know what, like honestly what happens is character stuff says, you know what, I'm going to teach this by the way that I live, or I'm going to ask an assistant to find a YouTube video, whatever the case may be. And that's better than nothing. Don't get me wrong. But we've designed this such that if you did nothing but give us 12 minutes a week, then you hit play on a 7-minute video and you say the quote of the day every day, then that'll take you 12 minutes. Hmm. And I find it hard to believe that there's a coach in Texas or across the country that doesn't have 12 minutes to prepare and to invest in their kids beyond the game.
Sure.
12 minutes. All you do is hit play. And if you do that, then you've got more than most people. But if you go beyond, you can literally put this into play however best fits your kids. And what we say is that we create so that you can contextualize. Mm. And that ultimately is what we leave to you. But I will tell you that a lot of our baseball programs, Georgetown High School down north of Austin, Flower Mound here in the Dallas area, you know, Little Elm, several different baseball programs, the way that they use it, they've been utilizing Google Classroom. Mm, and so they'll take the videos, they'll put the videos in Google Classroom, they'll put the questions inside of Google Classroom, and then they will send that out and they'll say, hey, you've got X number of days to send me a screenshot of your answers. I don't care how you answer it, but I want you to answer the 5 questions on the athlete section. Other programs, you know, we're in Hamlin, Texas, population 625.
Wow.
not in the school, now the town.
Oh, the entire town.
Wow. And you know what they'll do is at the beginning of the week on Mondays, they play the video And then each day of the week, they'll ask one of the questions from the athlete's page. And they'll say, hey, you guys got these questions on Monday. Now, we're going to ask one question a day, and we want three guys to answer it while we're doing our warm-ups. Right. And so now it becomes a conversation, an intentional conversation while you're warming up. Right. We're not asking for new time. We're just repurposing the time that you already have. Other programs will print the paper out, send it home. Other programs have what they call leadership journals. And this can be as fancy or as simple as you want. You say, you know what, guys, North Forney High School. They say, hey, I want you guys, you need to bring a journal. And it can be, you know, one of the composition journals. It can be a spiral journal and whatever you want. You bring your notebook, and we're going to leave it here where they've got literally just crates sitting at the edge where they do their warm-ups and things. They leave them right there, and every day they come in, and when they check in, they grab their journal, and they sit down, and they talk about the questions. They watch the video. They have a coach that is building off of the theme of the week. There's 1,000 different ways to do it, mm-hmm. and we did that intentionally because I didn't want to tell you how to do your program. You know how to do your program. Why? Because it's yours. So what I wanted to do is, or what we wanted to do at Two Words, is we wanted to amplify your ability to serve and coach your kids by taking away the obstacle of creating an intentional game plan.
Right. And what you're doing is you're taking away the excuses of, I don't have time, or I don't know what to do.
That's right.
Or I don't know how to do it.
That's right. Hit play. Just 12 hit. Minutes a week. Read a quote. Done.
Well, and to further your warm-ups, I wrote this down too. To further your warm-ups discussion, that's where I get to know all the kids. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if other coaches do this, but during warm-ups, every single time I'm out there, I try and go through the line, try and give them nucks, try and touch them somehow, just that's either right. a pat on the back or somewhere. And usually I'm like, so what's the best vacation you've ever been on?
Sure.
Or what do your parents do? Just so I can get to know them a little bit better. So I love that. And I love the idea of just being able to talk about stuff that matters away from the game.
Right. Because as you're walking through, you know, let's say that week you watch Sacrifice Required, right? The theme of that video is there's a lot of things in life that are optional if you want to be successful in life, right? Talent is optional, coming from the right family, the right school, the right facilities, right? A lot of too small people in the NFL, a lot of too short people in the NBA. A lot of things are optional, right? Mm-hmm. Genetics, optional. But the one thing that isn't optional, one thing that is required is sacrifice. Sacrifice required, right? So now all of a sudden you have this teaching mnemonic, right? You can walk through, guys are about to run W's, right? Sacrifice required, men. Sacrifice required. Now that brings in everything that you've talked about and those two words, the theme of the week. And you can choose, you know what, this week, like we're going to have to sacrifice some things. You know what? We had some guys make some boneheaded decisions this weekend, right? Hit a natty light Friday night, did some stuff on Saturday night that they shouldn't have been doing, right? Listen, men, like the future of our program is dependent on us making the right choices right now. Right, your future you is dependent on your present you, and our present you need to make some sacrifices if we want to be who we say we want to be in the future. Now we've got all these connections, and now you start contextualizing. Mm-hmm. Because for the coach that has kids smoking dope behind the dugout on the weekends with that problem, there's another coach whose kids feel like they're entitled, right? Whose parents have given them a great start line in life, and they don't recognize just how important their start line is, how valuable it is, or they think that their start line has been given so that they can make a greater advantage for themselves. And they've missed the fact that the purpose of influence is to help those that have none. And so now all of a sudden, all these things we can start contextualizing in based on those two words. You're walking down the line. Hey, man, what do you got to sacrifice? Coach told me one time, he said, we asked that question. He said, you know, the question was, hey, what are some things you need to sacrifice today to reach your goals tomorrow? And one kid said, Coach, I need to sell my vape. He said, my vape, it ain't helping me, coach. And then another kid, the same school, same kids, goes, coach, I need to get some new friends. Because my friends, I need to sacrifice my friends because they're not helping.
Sure.
Right now, all of a sudden, like, now, how many times as a coach have you said you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with?
Every day.
If you said it once, you've said it 1,000 times, right? But now, all of a sudden, there's a different voice. All of a sudden, there's a different perspective that is reinforcing the very things that you already say. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens when that does? Number one, they believe it. But then number two, it makes you look like you the man.
Yeah, getting some street cred.
That's right. You're like, I've been saying this for a minute, right. You know? And so it's one of those things that over and over and over again, we want to amplify the coach's impact in the lives of their athletes.
Well, that's awesome. And you're actually here to speak with our kids tonight.
Yes.
So this is opening night for baseball, and we were trying to accomplish what you were talking about, which is having a different voice and them getting to hear what we're trying to say from somebody else. And so talk with our listeners about what, give us a preview of what we're going to be going through tonight and what what it looks like whenever you come and talk.
Yeah, it's such a privilege, and it is so much fun to be able to do what I do in that. Like I said, in 2017, I did this 282 times, getting to bounce around locker room to locker room, school to school, hanging out with that. Like, that's unbelievable, the fact that I get to do this. I'm so privileged. And so, you know, tonight we're going to set out really a big vision of what could happen for this season, not just on the field, but through the field, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. that what can happen in their lives through the game of baseball. We're going to talk a lot about opportunity. We're going to talk about how access to the right opportunities doesn't mean jack squat if you don't take the right action.
True.
And so there's going to be this sense of calling out and challenging, a sense of step up, not out of step up because you are somehow inferior or because you've somehow not done what is right, but to say that we want to challenge you to step up and step into the fullness of who you could be, to step up into a grander vision for your program than maybe you have for yourself. Mm. And so there'll be a little bit of that. And then we're going to get down into the nitty gritty. And we're just going to talk about something that I've seen happen over and over again on the baseball diamond, which is kids be paralyzed by their fear of making a mistake. And so we're going to spend some time talking through about how to make your next mistake your best mistake and how to remove the almost that analysis paralysis of fear and how to learn to embrace the mistake so and then to take ownership of it so that that mistake will make you better. You make it once and it makes you better instead of making it 1,000 times and making you worse. So we're going to spend some time jamming through that because my bet is that there's going to be more than one stumble. There's going to be, especially in a community that has high expectations, not only on the program, but also from parents to students, mm-hmm. that there's going to be high expectations. And sometimes that can just flat out paralyze a kid.
Right.
And we're going to talk about how we can remove the stigma of the fear of failure and then put that in its right place. So that it brings, that it can be a tool instead of a hindrance.
Right. And for the listeners out there, our population, we're very affluent. And as we were talking earlier, Mackie and I, we were talking about how that comes with its own set of problems. And so a lot of the kids that we have never failed before. Like they come from great homes, two family homes. They've never had many problems to deal with in their entire life. And so I love you talking about, because it does, it, when you've never failed before, it does put that fear in you that I may do that now. Like I may do that in this big situation. And this I've never done that before, Coach Gellner. I've never failed before. And so I love that you're talking about, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I know you've got your northern black pine.
Come on, your black spruce. That's it, man. Got the oil. We're ready to roll, man.
But I'm so excited.
It's going to be a great night. And man, I just think that, it's such a great thing that they have in you and Coach Cox and the other coaches on staff and the way that y'all invest in them mentally, emotionally, you invest in the foundation of the personhood. And I might say that is really where I live. Mm-hmm. You know, in the baseball world, what we do gets lumped in under mental skills. And certainly it fits there, but not in the sports psych way. Whereas not in the sixth tool way, where you could look at mental school skills as the sixth tool. You got, you know, the running and the hitting and the throwing and all that, your five tool, and then your mental skills is the sixth. What I would say that we do at Two Words, and really where I live, is that we help lay the foundation upon which your six tools are built. Mm. Because I don't think that it does anybody any good to be an 80 grade player, right? If there was such a thing. To be an 80 grade player, but have a 20 grade character, because their character won't be able to hold the weight of their talent.
Right.
And then what happens? Well, the same thing that happens on every ESPN 30 for 30, right? That you see somebody with a once in a generation talent, but had crap character, and they forfeit it all because they didn't know how to handle it, because they didn't have the foundation. And you know, in Aggieland, we love to talk about Johnny Manziel. Yeah. We love to talk about the house that Johnny built. And so many things, and so many things got passed over for him because he could win the Heisman, because he could build Kyle Field, because he was going to get drafted, this, that, and the other. And he had an incredible talent, but from the outside looking in, based on his choices and the consequences that he's faced, he didn't have the character to hold his talent. And it's not a football thing, right? That's a human thing. And we can look in every sport, in every industry, in every corner of the globe, and we're going to find people that have more talent than character. And we have person after person, coach after coach, system after system that builds tools, but very few that build character. We get bench press reps, we get squat reps, we get pitching reps, hitting reps. We got to get character reps. If we expect our character to be strong enough to hold up the weight of our talent. And I would say that is where I live. And sometimes that looks like some mental skill stuff, right? We'll talk about the five P's. Prior preparation permits proper performance. Yeah, come on, say that. Hear that on 2X, right? Come on. Man. And so we'll talk about skill set things. We'll talk about the very practical things that look like mental skills, but they are a piece of that foundation of personhood. And that's really where we live.
I love it. And Mackie, it's fantastic, but I want to pick your brain a little bit. Let's hear what Mackie has to say about himself. So what's the latest thing learned that you're really excited about?
Man, I am, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I take a lot of stuff in, mm-hmm. right? I'm a 2X or bus guy on podcasts and people's laughs. Your laugh sounds great at 2X, by the way.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
But you know, I would say that an idea that I've been just processing and really thinking through is this sense that when you genuinely care about people, you don't have to be popular to make an impact. Mm, good. That when you genuinely care about the person across from you, your people on your team, doesn't matter whether you get featured on the stage at ABCA, whether you're a great follow on Twitter, whether you get asked to speak at conferences or invited on a podcast, when you genuinely care about the students on your team, the athletes on your team, you know what? You don't have to be popular to make an impact. How many thousands and thousands of coaches have changed the lives of hundreds and hundreds of players and no one will ever know their name? Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you right now, their impact is not any less valuable than someone who steps on stage at ABCA, right? And it was really easy over the last year to get caught up in the popularity drive. It's easy to get caught up in, I want people to follow, or I want to be on this show or that show. It's really easy to get caught up in being popular, but it was just this sense that, man, I don't have to be popular to make an impact if I genuinely care about the people that I'm interacting with. So we've been thinking about that a lot and wanting to use that to keep us grounded and to make sure that we remember where we planted our flag in the high school locker room, who we're serving, and why we're serving them.
Oh, that's so good. My next question. What are some of your favorite resources? And I know you're a huge Tim Ferriss guy. We both are. We are like-minded in that. So give us some stuff to dig into this weekend.
Yep. You want to dig into some new podcasts? I'm all about podcasts. Obviously, Tim Ferriss is great. Highly recommend The Unbeatable Mind with Commander Mark Divine, a Navy SEAL guy, and just does a phenomenal job. I listen to on a regular basis. In addition to those guys, you know, I like my Texas high school football. And it's tough to get past that. So Dave Campbell puts a Texas high school football podcast out. And, you know, I listen to that because I just enjoy keeping up with what's happening in Texas high school football. You know, a shameless plug for our podcast, Coach 360, and one that we interview coaches from kind of all different walks about some of the best things that they're doing and really enjoy doing that. But man, the thing about podcasting, I think it's just it is the most underutilized resource that is out there today.
Good, yeah.
Of course, the ABCA calls from the clubhouse. Coach Sheets does a phenomenal job in that. Joe Ferraro on the 1% Better podcast. Both of those guys are world-class interviewers. And I'm telling you, you want to get in with those guys before the rest of the world catches up with what's happening to them, because they're going to be hard to get a hold of. Mm-hmm. And they are first class dudes. And either one of them, if you tweet them, DM them, email them, you know what? You're going to get a response back from them probably within the hour, but certainly within 24. And they're first class dudes. So definitely I would put those two guys on the up and coming radar. Commander Divine, Tim Ferriss, and guys that are a little bit more established. And then of course that shameless plug for what we do at Coach 360. And then I do a podcast called the Plus One Podcast. And I do that. That's kind of a little bit more, one part audio journal, one part, leadership diaries, just on a really personal level. And so if you're interested for whatever reason and knowing the inner thoughts of Mackie, then you can find that at the Plus One.
Well, and you're a Pastor Craig Groeschel, yes, big fan of his, uh-huh, right?
Yeah, yeah,
he's he does a great one.
He has a great leadership. Yeah, if we get into some of the spiritual stuff, the guy I consider to be my pastor guy's name, a guy named Luke Norsworthy, and he's at Westover Church of Christ in Austin, and he does a really great job. And what I value about his preaching is he does a really, really great job of being like one part intellectual, one part pastor, and one part Bleacher Report. You know what I mean? Like he's the guy's guy, but is very, you can tell how well prepared he is. And sometimes that's not always the case, but gosh, man, he is just so well prepared that it challenges the way you think and what you think. And you know, I can remember back to the sermons from 2014 that, you know, things that he said that just sparked new ways of thinking. And then to that extent, I think that one of the most powerful and practical and just really just unique gifted teachers of our time on the spiritual level. And really, you know what, honestly, man, even if you're not a Jesus guy, some of the things that Rick Warren and the way that he teaches and the way that he forms ideas, that even if you aren't a Jesus guy, you can get a whole lot out of. And I would say that he might be, in my opinion, the most gifted teacher of how to grow in life that I've ever come across. Now, certainly he'll have a strong Jesus bent, but you know, you don't have to be a Jesus guy to get quite a bit out of what he says. You know, one of my favorite phrases by Rick is those with tact have less to retract. And the power of understanding what you say matters. And that when you speak and you have tact, you're not going to have to worry about taking words back, which you can never do. As a coach, as a father, as a friend, right? Those with tact have less to retract. And that's valuable no matter what you think about spiritual matters.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So I would throw some of those out there.
And so my goal this year, and this is not off topic at all, I promise I'll get to where we're going. But my goal this year was one, to just enjoy every day. Because I feel like I'm always on 2x speed and I'm always trying to learn the next best thing and all this different stuff, but to just enjoy every day and to have a conversation every day that makes me think.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to simplify everything and not make it simpler, but just to simplify. I think I'm on the right track. I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I need to just enjoy it and to enjoy the process
because
I'm only 29 one time
That's
in
it.
My life.
That's it.
All of those podcasts, awesome podcasts. I'm not familiar with Luke, but I'm familiar with the rest of them, and they're all that conversation. You're gonna listen to them, and you're gonna think.
That's it.
I love that. So switching directions a little bit, what would you tell your just out of college self? Because I know myself, man, I would have a heart to heart, good sit down conversation. I need to tell you what we need to learn. But what would you tell your just out of college self?
Man, whew, so many things to say.
Where do we start?
So yes, yeah, so how much time you got, man? We got enough battery for that. You know, I think that I would look back in college and just out of college, and I would say the same thing, which is don't wait. Don't wait until you're qualified. Don't wait until you've put enough out. Like, just get after it. Treat and act and live where you are the way that you think you would if you were where you wanted to go. And bring that level of excellence, that level of commitment. Don't sit around and say, well, when I'm in charge, I'll do it this way. When I'm in charge, I'll bring this level of excellence. But since I'm not, I'm just going to sit back and wait for my turn. No, 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 no. If you think that one day you have what it takes to be in the driver's seat, then bring the same energy to being the assistant that you would to being the head guy. And then value and push forward the head guy stuff with the same intensity that you would push forward your stuff. Because if you don't do it for someone else isn't going to do it for you. If you don't do it today, why are you going to do it when you get there? The old idea that you do the work and then you get the promotion. You learn the skill sets and then you get promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that so many coming out of college, and certainly myself too, had it backwards.
Right.
And I thought, well, I'll get the promotion and then I'll put it in.
Right.
No, no, no. Do it now. Jump in now. And I just think about how many things I missed on, or how much further ahead I could be had I not waited, had I not wasted time had I not said, well, I've just got to get through this quote unquote prerequisite season. Mm-hmm. And then I could, no. There's no prerequisite to make an impact. No prerequisite to life. Like you're in it. You're right. Doing it. So dive in and don't wait.
Oh, that's awesome. So you've been on 288 talks this year?
2017 was 282.
How many high schools do you know off the top of your head?
Oh man, I really don't. You know, the bulk of them, you know, some of those were, you know, different events. Mm-hmm. You know, like I did the National Insulation Association.
So we could say thousands of coaches that you've been around.
Yeah.
Especially ABCA.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
All right. So if you could open up their minds and tell them one thing, what would that be?
It matters. It matters. Whatever it is, it matters. It matters the way that you speak. It matters the way that you treat them. It matters how early you get there, how late you stay. It matters the details. It matters the tone. It matters the words. You know, it matters what happens on the field. It matters what happens off the field. Like what you do matters so much, right? Billy Graham said that a coach will impact more people in a year than most people will impact in a lifetime. That as a coach, you don't just wear the hat of the signal caller or the lineup builder, but you also wear the hat of the pseudo father and the brother and the uncle, of the spiritual leader, of the counselor, the crisis guy, the relationship counselor. Like you wear so many different hats as a coach that what you do matters. And it's a heavy burden, mm-hmm. right? It is an unfair amount that gets put on your shoulders, but that's what it means to be a coach. And so I would say to the coach that what you do matters much, much more than you could dare articulate. And that there will be a day, if you do it right, that a kid will come to you, or at least will say, and you may never hear it, there will be a day that a kid will say, I am who I am because of you. And that day, whether you hear it or whether you don't, that is why you coach. And that's why it matters. Because what you do is so vital to who these young men become, and ultimately how they lead their families, ultimately how they treat their wives, how they raise their kids, and generations will follow. That's a heavy burden. And so I would just say to you as a coach, it matters.
And I think I don't have kids yet, but we spend a lot of time, and this is what a lot of coaches get into. We spend almost more time raising other people's kids than we do our own kids.
That's right.
Which, like you said, that's a burden that we all carry. But just going back to, it does matter. It does matter that we do that. I think that's a great message for any coaches to hear. And Mackie, thank you so much for being with us today,
hey, man.
It's
my privilege.
I loved it. I love the in-person interview. Your energy is just infectious, and I'm ready to run through the wall right now.
Like
I'm ready
Come to go. On.
But where can we find you online in case anyone wants to get in touch with you?
Yeah, would love to. The easiest place is on Twitter, at Mackie Speaks, MackeY. Is the easiest place to connect with me. Super active on there. We put videos out throughout the week, quotes, images, the whole nine, podcast stuff. So that's the easiest place. You can find links to the podcast, to Two Words Character Development. You can find links to our YouTube channel. And so all kinds of stuff, all right there on Twitter. Online, you can find us at twowords.tv. That's the number 2words.tv. And if you go to /game plan, then you can check out a free week of the curriculum and then see clips from 17 weeks of other lessons and find out how kind of what that looks like and check out all of that. And for any of those coaches that would be interested in learning more, man, I'll tell you this, we are in schools, like I said, Hamlin, Texas, population 625, all the way up to Northside ISD, the fourth largest district in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. And so I say that to say that in every size, every classification, and every financial situation, we are in a school like yours, and I'll tell you this, we've never once told a school that wants our curriculum no, because we're not in this to make a bunch of money. We're not in this to boost our whatever. We're in this because we want to help coaches change lives. And so we want to do everything that we can do to help you do so. And so if we can do that, then great. And if we can't, then don't waste your time by going to my website. By golly, you got too much to do. You've got too little time to do it in. So don't freaking waste your time by stumbling through my site if we can't help you. But if we can, then give me a call because we're going to amplify. I believe wholeheartedly that we will make you a better coach and we will make your athletes better people. We'll make your parents better parents. Come on now. And ultimately, we'll make your community better through what we do at Two Words. And if we don't do it, then we don't want to waste your time.
Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners before you go?
Hey, I just want to say thank you, because I know that many of your listeners are coaches. And so I want to say thank you for who you are and for what you do. That the most important job in all of America today is the job of coach. And you won't get told thank you enough. You'll get a lot of angry emails. You'll get a lot of why is my kid this and why is my kid that? But you won't get a lot of thank yous. And so from someone whose life was changed by a coach, from someone who spends a lot of time with athletes and a lot of time with coaches, I want to tell you thank you for the sacrifice to your family. Thank you for the sacrifice for your career, for your monetary sacrifice. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And don't give up. Keep fighting the good fight, because your kids on your team need it, and their kids that don't even exist yet need it. America needs you. So keep up the great work, and thank you.
Thank you for listening to Ahead of the Curve. I hope you enjoyed the show and got something from our outstanding guest. If you're wanting to listen to past shows and get alerts for new ones, Ahead of the Curve is now available on the Texas High School Baseball Coaches Association app, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Please consider writing a review or rating the show so other coaches can find and stay ahead of the curve.